Our next guest joins us weekly, Ben, and it's always really weird for me because I all of a sudden don't see him on the reg, which is a weird feeling. It'd be like, Ben, if I all of a sudden didn't see you for a month.
Yeah, that'd be bizarre.
It's very strange. But his appearance on the show is brought to you by Spherion. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. That's SPHERION.com/Utah. Joining us now, he's my co-host for Jazz Pre, Half, and Post, the one and only, the coach, Tim Lacombe.
My hell, I saw you yesterday. I mean, what's this soapbox?
Oh, I couldn't even sleep last night. I was like, oh, man,
oh,
I'm not gonna
I
get
guarantee
to see
you're
Tim.
So excited you don't have to put up with my zany, crazy personality on the reg.
I love it.
You guys are going to have to do hockey pre-half and post, or hockey mid-post. How do they call that when you do in between the first and second? You guys ready to do that?
I would have to learn a few things about hockey.
I would, too. Tim and I both already work a lot of nights. To just double that,
it would be every night.
It would be extreme.
It would be every single night.
We could just get an apartment in the building. We could just make little like cubbies that we slide out of and then do the show.
Put Jeremy on it.
Yeah, George Costanza slept under his desk. You could do
that. Yeah, we could figure something out.
Hey, he hung the televisions on the wall.
I mean,
I'm sure this could be done.
Dude, our setup is pretty baller. I mean, as baller as like a 4-foot by 8-foot studio can possibly be.
With varying temperatures.
Very, very varying temperatures.
All right, the Jazz finished the season 5-25 over their last 30 games. Young guys got a lot of opportunity. That was what it was mostly about, was get those young guys out there, but they also lock up the 8th best odds of winning the lottery. I guess in that sense, it was a success post-trade deadline. And look, I don't think you were going to want to re-sign Kelly Olynyk or Simone Fontecchio either. So I recognize what the Jazz did. Do you think they got out of it what they were hoping?
I do. I think, you know, it became a developmental year, no doubt. And really the focus became those young guys. And I think all three guys, we talked about this a lot during the season, but they all took different routes, you know. And I think what the neat thing is that they all kind of ended together on the team. They were playing, you know, started games and playing starters minutes. Unless they, you know, were on the wrong side of a huge run that one game where they didn't get starters minutes, but with all that, they learned. You know, they learned what it is to go out there and play in the NBA, what you have to be ready for. You know, where are the deficiencies in your game? You can feel them when you're out there. And so I think all those things were so positive. And it was painful. You know, there's pain involved in this process. But we're through the extraction now for the season. And I think as you look back on it, their positioning in the draft, the improvement of those three rookies, them getting their kind of feet set in the NBA. And then I would add to that, I think Colin Sexton made a huge jump this year. And I was really impressed with John Collins. He started out so like new guys do, you know, just trying to find himself. And lo and behold, really as a small ball five, kind of found himself and then some, really consistent the last part of the year prior to the injury. And so I think if you look at it, positive all the way around.
What did we learn about Coach Hardy this year?
That he's very humble. You know, he started out with an idea and about 6 weeks into the season had to, you know, go a different direction with how they wanted to play. And, you know, it really was hard to do. But, you know, basically just kind of threw that plan away, started anew and obviously in 2 years he's been handed quite a few difficult circumstances to deal with, and he just continues to focus on what's important, and that's growing this team and growing himself. So I think these years, although difficult, have been really valuable for him, and I think he comes out of it. I'd give him an A. I mean, I know every single iteration of this team that he's had has been good. For a period of time. So I think if the guys can come in next year with two things on their mind, play hard and pass, which are the two things that he threw out there, I think they can be in a good spot.
I don't, you know, it's unfair to say, because we will need several years to be able to grade this fully, that, you know, the Jazz made all the right picks at 9, 16 and 27 or 28, wherever they drafted Bryce Sensabaugh. There were probably better players on the board. G.G. Jackson in the second round looks like a very good player. But I don't think the Jazz whiffed on any of these players. Am I fair to say that, that they might have three NBA players, which going 3 for 3 in the first round is really difficult to do?
I agree. And I do think, like I said, I mean, the way these guys came about it, Sensabaugh spent most of the year in G League. Taylor started down there and spent some time, and I really thought for different reasons. Taylor was, you know, he's such a young kid, 1 year removed from college, and kind of a fast riser that skipped part of the learning process. And so I think he had to, you know, go down there and just understand the nuance that underlies just making buckets and getting rebounds and blocking shots. And I think he did that. I saw him do things like shot fake the corner in one of these last games. Guy flies by and he gathers himself, plays off 2 feet and makes a beautiful skip pass across the court for 3. I mean, that play was not in his bag to start this season. So I think he, you know, those things were really great for him. Sensabaugh, he was able to kind of chisel his body down. He was obviously a great scorer with the Stars, but it's his passing that stands out. And every night, you know, it wasn't just scoring. He checked a lot of boxes and did a lot of things. He rebounds great for his size, passes the ball really well, better than I thought. And then I think he's a walking bucket. And then Keontae, I mean, he should be all rookie. The only thing he needs to really kind of add to his bag is a little bit more physical size. I think just getting stronger will help a lot. And then, you know, just being focused and consistent for long periods of time. I think we saw a lot of times where, you know, he would make a one-handed crazy pass that, you know, you could tell he was fatigued or didn't think about it. And so to tighten some of those things down, but man, he had a great year. And he certainly ended the season yesterday with one of his best games, I thought.
Did anything surprise you about the season in retrospect?
Man, just how dapper Mike Smith is daily.
Oh, that shouldn't have come
as a surprise.
Yeah, not at all.
No, not really. I mean, cause this is new territory for everybody. New territory for me, for sure, watching a team that I'm, you know, watching daily on a rebuild and moving their two best players and deciding to kind of strip it down and build it back up. So I would say that, again, I think you judge by not wins and losses, but a lot of the things within the context of the game, within the context of the organization. And, no, I nothing really surprised me. I think, you know, it went according to what I thought maybe a rebuild looks like.
I'm excited for the playoffs. I've been excited for the playoffs for about a month now. And I'm not sure I was rewarded with the playoff series I hoped for in the first round, but then again, I probably couldn't have told you what I wished we would have seen. But of the 4 playoff series that we know are going to happen, Bucks Pacers, Cavaliers Magic, Mavericks Clippers, and then Wolves Suns, which one do you think is the most captivating?
I think they're all really interesting for a lot of different reasons. The Eastern ones, I think both of the underdogs are going to win. I think the lower-seeded teams. I think the Magic will win the series against the Bucks. Or excuse me, the Pacers will win the series against the Bucks, and I think the Magic will beat the Cavs.
Wow.
Yeah. In the West, I think the Dallas-LA probably would be the one. I guess of all those, that's the one that I'm most interested in. Man, you talk about, and you know this, Ben, you've watched so much playoff basketball in your lifetime, but it becomes about, you know, individual guys that can – carry their team. A lot of isolation, a lot of half court stuff, a lot of big, you know, you got to make buckets at big times. And I think both teams are stacked with guys like that. And so I think Luka, Kyrie, obviously, and then, you know, the Kawhi, Harden, George, like every one of those guys can really take games over. So I'm intrigued to watch that one. Dallas has been playing really well, and I would probably expect them to win that series, but man, you never know. That's a lot of veterans that have been through a lot, and that'll be a fascinating one to me.
Looks to me like Rudy Gobert probably is going to win another Defensive Player of the Year. How important is it to his legacy that Minnesota make a run?
I think, I mean, it behooves everybody to be part of a winning deal. I mean, it's, but it doesn't take away from his greatness. I think what's cool about Rudy this year is, you know, when Utah, when he was here, Utah's kind of the butt of the NBA jokes a lot anyway, or has been. I know that, that's something we're trying to change. But it's with Rudy, it was easy to punk Rudy when he was in Utah. And even if Utah people stood up for him, you know, it was kind of looked at like, hey, those are just Utah people. But getting into Minnesota and having guys like Anthony Edwards praise Rudy Gobert, you know, guys like Karl Anthony Towns praise Rudy Gobert, I think it takes on a different tact. And he's got the respect in the league. It's so hard to do what he does. But, man, it never hurts to win. The more you can win, the stronger the ink is, you know, on your name in the book of basketball.
I got some chills watching Mark Pope accept the job yesterday at Kentucky, just seeing the 1996 team come out, seeing the crowd really stand up and get behind Mark Pope after kind of shelling that hire on Thursday night. I thought that was pretty fascinating to watch. What are you expecting from Mark Pope? I think this is one. I mean, we have such great storylines next year locally that in basically any other year, this might be the top story all of next season.
Well, I actually expected him to, you know, I thought, knowing him, that he might ride off out on a blue elephant. I mean, nothing is too big for this guy. He is, to me, the basketball version of Barnum Bailey. I mean, he can put on a show with the best of them. And now it's, you know, I mean, as always, it's time to this isn't winning your league, mind you, which he hasn't done yet. This is winning a national championship. That's what he's playing for now. So the stakes are huge, but the best part about Pope is he doesn't care. He looks it right in the eye, and he'll give it a swing. But it was pretty fascinating to see that place sold out. You know, it just shows you that the negative Nellies on Twitter, you know, there's so much negative talk on Twitter that people are either cowards because they either showed up, you know, after writing that they hate the guy. People are either cowards or it's just, you know, a minute piece of negativity that hits Twitter, and the general public seemed pretty fascinated and exciting. So I had no doubt it would be an extravaganza. Let me put it that way. This thing, in my mind, may have been planned for as many as 10 years.
Who will be the next head coach at BYU?
Man. Well, I can tell you with a surety it's not me.
You pulled your name out.
Well, no. Yeah, well, in some respects, yes.
Well, he didn't want to compete with Mike, first of all. I mean, that would make correct. For an awkward pregame show.
No, I don't want to leave Jake. You know, we got a good thing going. And coaching is in my rearview mirror big time. But I think it's obvious that the candidates have been named. You know, there's a couple of NBA guys with ties to the church. There's obviously Mark Madsen, who put out a statement yesterday talking about, or 2 days ago, talking about how he's really happy where he is. Madsen's as great a guy as there is. I would have, you know, I love him, and I think he would be great. But he's doing good things at Cal, and I think he's really happy there. You know, he's from there, so he's kind of back home. So I think it leaves, you know, the other names or, you know, three guys that have been in and around, guy like Quincy Lewis, guy like Chris Burgess at Utah, and Barrett Peary. So I think if you have that big circle right there, you're probably, you know, I would imagine the focus will be there. It's a very small group of people, you know, that are eligible. So I did actually, just out of curiosity, run up a question up the chain. Would they ever hire a non-member? I know it's not in, you know, it's not written anywhere, but it's just always been. And the word I got back was absolutely not. Don't think that will ever happen where there that will happen, you know, in football and basketball particularly. So I would say it's in that group. And, you know, those guys are all friends of mine, every one of them. And so I'm not going to say who I, you know, I just believe that they'll get somebody good out of that group. And I think BYU can rally behind him. They can start trying to keep players here. And, you know, probably the most important thing is it happened quickly.
Well, it doesn't appear to be going all that quickly. And I'm curious, and I don't know how, you know, if you've are all that comfortable answering this, but like the bureaucracy at BYU is different than it is other places. And it seems to me anyway that it goes a little slower because there's more kind of approval that is needed.
Yeah, they're not. And I'll answer your question this way. When we used to do summer camps, we had to hire as many as 100 coaches, you know, 150 coaches. And even for those positions, you know, at our camps, there is a lengthy process that each person has to go through just to get accepted to work camp. So when you're talking about somebody that they're going to have come in and be, you know, an unofficial, but certainly an ambassador for the place, they want to make sure that the person that they get and the school, you know, have matching interests and that everything's on the up and up. So it does take a little bit of time. It does have to run through, you know, the channels, the private university and the board of trustees. Typically, you know, what I've seen is it's taken as many as 3 weeks. And certainly my guess is that they're expediting that. You know, I think it will be fast for BYU, but to the rest of the world, everybody would be wondering what's taking so long.
And I'm in the camp, actually, that if you have to take a little longer to get the right person, that's the most important thing. But, Coach, you are the best. Appreciate you, everything that you do. And, man, it was a crazy year.
It was a crazy year, but a fun one. Got to see some new faces. Got to know new people. Became better friends with this Ben Anderson character, who's a great guy. And I'm looking forward to the offseason, the draft, free agency, summer league, all that stuff, just to be able to see what we're going to be hopefully talking about next year.
UVA never sleeps, that is for sure. Coach, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
See you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
The one and only Tim Lacombe.